It is Friday, and so good to be here on a Friday. It feels like it's Friday a little bit. It's been a big week, though. I mean, a really big week news-wise. You've got all of these things going on. Nothing bigger, however, than, of course, Bob Mueller coming out and breaking his silence after a couple of years and making comments and then getting the blowback from people like Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley saying, wait a second, you're way out of line. You have an agenda. And it's interesting that Dershowitz did that because he's a guy who has been defending Mueller as having integrity, being a guy that would do it straight, doesn't like the special counsel law very well. But then after the comments here a couple of days ago, says he's obviously got an agenda. He's in the bag for the Democrats. Pretty shocking. My next guest, he's been here for years, Steve Doolin. No fooling, it's Doolin on a Friday. Doolin, welcome back.
Thanks, Gruber. Glad to be here.
All right, so I need you to put on your professor hat because Steve Doolin is an attorney and a professor, a law professor at Cooley Law School at Western Michigan University. So you watch this stuff with some interest. And first of all, you've got a guy that comes out and says, well, I couldn't reach a determination on obstruction of justice. On the conspiracy portion of it, it's cut and dry, but he seemed to try to walk some of that back, but it's not even close as to what he wrote. He said he wants his 448-page report to speak for itself, and I'll give you this one quote. The investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. persons knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the Russians. I mean, it is so cut and dry, there's nothing to walk back there. But then he refuses to come to a conclusion on obstruction of justice. Isn't that his job, Doolin? Wasn't that what he was assigned to do?
Well, the job of any prosecutor is to review the evidence and make a decision about prosecution. And what I heard during that statement was that at no time from the beginning, ab initio, we say in our business, did he feel free to prosecute. So what I heard was, I have completely wasted all of this time and money because I couldn't do the job of a prosecutor, even if I found something that was prosecutable. And furthermore, I didn't find anything that was prosecutable. He's invented a new standard, not guilty, I guess. The presumption of innocence is ironclad in our system.
Right.
It's a cornerstone of our system. And he came up with, I couldn't prove a negative. Now, anybody who's ever had college logic knows that nobody can prove a negative.
Right.
And that's why we don't have defendants proving themselves innocent.
Well, based on what he put out there, based on his logic, if you will, because the other part that he put out there, we under the Constitution are not allowed to indict a sitting president and we couldn't have a sealed indictment. That would be unconstitutional. He said those things. Well, if that were true, then it was a fool's errand from day one, because if that were true, even if they found a conspiracy, which they didn't, but if they had, he wouldn't have told us that either based on what he told. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense what he said to us, because if he had found a conspiracy that there was collusion with the Russians to influence the election that coordinated with the Trump campaign and maybe the president himself, that he would have come out and said, well, we couldn't arrive at a conclusion. And you know that's not true, right? I mean, that's just foolish to say, and because what he's saying is, there was no point to do the investigation at all because we couldn't indict a sitting president.
Exactly right. And that was exactly what I heard. I have a little paraphraser voice in my head every time I listen or read anything, and it simplifies things for me. And that's a big part of the job of an attorney, is translating between two languages, right? Legalese and English. And my legalese to English translator said, well, I'm standing here before you to tell you that I have wasted 2 years and untold millions of dollars.
Well, they did tell $35 million that they've wasted, because he's saying that he was not allowed to reach a conclusion on any of it. So if that's true, then why do we bother? He also said that he would let the 448-page report speak for itself. And then he further said this. I do not want to answer any questions about any of this. I am Bob Mueller. I stand on the mountain and I decree to you that I have told you the truth. You must take it in faith. I mean, it's such nonsense and so arrogant to me.
Arrogant's a good word. Here, read these stone tablets and leave me alone. That was my internal paraphrasing voice at that moment.
Exactly. I am Bob Mueller and I tell you, take it on faith. I mean, seriously. And here's the other thing. The Democrats and the handmaidens in the media have for 2 years told us that Bob Mueller did, in fact, walk on water, that he was basically the messiah of the legal world. But when he did not deliver to them what they demanded, which was the president's head on a platter, now Bob Mueller, all of a sudden, he's not as important. And despite his assertion that he does not want to be called to testify, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and others, including Gerald, Big Jerry Nadler, are saying, you know what, we might subpoena him anyway. What do you think happens then?
Anyone subject to a subpoena, though there's been sort of a tradition developing over the last generation or so of ignoring subpoenas. President, you have to keep in mind, too, there's this whole muddy issue with separation of powers going on here. We've got executive and legislative and judicial, and this investigation was conducted under the auspices of the Department of Justice, which is part of the executive branch.
Sure.
So you had one branch investigating itself, which is another flaw from the beginning. And President Trump has invoked executive privilege in regard to many of his employees and former employees.
But
and it's to be seen whether that blanket invocation of executive privilege is going to extend to Mueller.
We'll find out. But what the president didn't do, he did not invoke privilege for the 2 years or 22 months, or whatever it was, during the investigation. He allowed Don McGahn, for example, to go up there and testify for almost 30 hours. Now he says, you know, Don McGahn's done his part. He doesn't need to appear again, so you guys can try to rifle through every word that he said. And so now he's putting out executive privilege, and they're screaming foul on the left when the president didn't stand in the way of any of these things. 500 interviews, 2,700 subpoenas, all of this stuff. And he didn't stand in the way. And they say, well, it's unprecedented, a word they use all the time. But it's not. You go back just to the Obama administration. Ben Rhodes, one of his chief advisors, was subpoenaed by Congress, by Republicans, to come testify. He didn't bother to show up. Lois Lerner, she showed up, but just to say, I'm not going to tell you anything, and left from the IRS. So for them to say it's unprecedented is complete nonsense.
Absolutely. It's certainly not unprecedented. And you have the further complication of the lack of separation of powers going on here. But, you know, Congress can subpoena anyone they want to. And then there's going to be a court battle over whether the privilege sticks. But I really like your point about the fact that the privilege was not invoked during the investigation. So in my mind, this was akin to a duel. The Democrats got the first shot, and frankly, now it's the president's turn. It's the executive branch's turn to take a shot, and that seems to be panicking congressional Democrats.
Oh, it sure
they
is.
Are freaking
yeah.
out
yeah.
over the possibility of some things being declassified.
Yeah, how dare he? It's the first time in American history that the journalists say, oh, we don't want to know what the inner workings of the intel community was. They don't want to know anything about it. Anyhow, Doolin, I got to run. Greatly appreciate it. Steve Doolin, law professor, Cooley Law School, Western Michigan University, and a great contributor to this program for a long time. Doolin, have a great weekend.
You too, Gruber. Thanks.
Back after this on The Steve Gruber Show.
Wyckoff Wellness welcomes back Dr. Chi for individual fingernail and tongue analysis June 10th through 15th. Fingernail and tongue changes may indicate problems with digestion, heart disease, blood sugar problems, and more. Call Wyckoff Wellness at 517-333-7270 to schedule your individual evaluation with Dr. Chi for only $40. Appointments are limited. Wyckoff Wellness in East Lansing is also hosting a free seminar with Dr. Chi Tuesday, June 11th at 6 p.m. Call 517-333-7270 to schedule today or go to wyckoffwellness.com.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live. It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
This was it. The real deal.
When we got the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.